The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Once upon a time, there was a radio show called The Eric Metaxas Show.
It had an announcer named Todd, who was the handsomest announcer in the land. Eric was bitterly jealous of Todd's good looks.
But there was nothing he could do.
He just had to accept that cruel fate had made him as ugly as a toad.
Here's Toadface himself, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. You're listening to a special edition of The Eric Metaxas Show. This is a Socrates in the City event I did with the great novelist Mark Helprin.
Welcome. I am so excited to be here tonight, and this is gonna freak me out because I haven't been out here before. Now, as I'm looking out in the audience, I'm seeing people that I know, some dear old friends, and a number of former friends that I don't want to be here. Thank you for coming. There are a number of special guests in the audience. This is kind of funny. I was told my friend Martha Linder is here from Lakeland, Florida, and she told me that Colonel Sussingham is going to be there. And I thought, who the heck's Colonel Sussingham? And then Mark Helprin introduced me to him. He was a test pilot for the F-16s, is that right? The chief test pilot for the F-16s, defining the envelope, not like those other test pilots. They hang way, way back. He actually was pushing the envelope of what it could do. So a real test pilot, but he dropped the first smart bomb, the first JDAM, and I thought, that is so cool, and I wanted to call him out and embarrass him in front of the group. So please applaud this man if you get a chance. If you get a chance later on, you can applaud him. And then also, since I'm calling out people who have done great things in the air, some of you remember 8 or 10 months ago, a Southwest plane lost an engine, a person was killed, and a heroic woman landed that plane. Her name is Tammy Jo Schultz, and she's with us in the room. Where are you, Tammy Jo? Don't be embarrassed. Where did she go? Where is she? She's right here. She's right here. Look, she's all embarrassed. I love it. I love embarrassing people. They can't squirm away. They have to take the applause. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And Tammy Jo was one of the first women fighter pilots ever. Okay, she pushed a different kind of envelope. So you just watch it there, pal. But it's incredible. Any other aeronautic people in the room here? Anybody who's really done anything spectacular, you know, at above say 30,000 feet? I'm just curious. Anybody? I didn't think so. Well, this brings me to the subject of the evening. There are very few people in whose presence I am genuinely humbled and awed. And that's true. I first encountered the fiction of Mark Helprin, these 35 years ago. I was an undergraduate at Yale. And we had a writing course, and somebody handed out, mimeographed or stapled short stories that we had to read. And the first one was called the Schroeder Spitze. I thought it was Die Schroeder Spitze, but it's the Schroeder Spitze. And it's a story unlike any I had ever read. It's the sort of thing that if you are a fiction writer or a writer, as I am, who values great writing and poetry and true literature, when you read most of what Mark Helprin has read, you understand you're in the presence of a rare genius. That's a simple fact. I don't heap praise on people lightly because there are a lot of wonderful writers of fiction, but there are very few that are genuinely great artistic talents and geniuses. And there are so many sentences in his writing and so many sentences in that short story alone that make you understand you're dealing with a maniac, a person who does not think the way you do. And either he's crazy or he's a genius or he's a crazy genius. And I think that genius and insanity are closely linked. But I really mean that that when you read his stuff, you understand that this is somebody who he's in the highest rank of writers in our time. And I want to give you some basics of who he is just so that we can relieve the tension here. He was born in 1947. But oddly enough, is only 62 years old. Now, I don't know how the heck you do that. That's wild. That's wild. Well, I'll ask you about that. Now, whenever you, if you know anything about Mark Helprin, you read these bios and they all say the same thing. They say Mark Helprin was raised on the Hudson and in the British West Indies, which is nothing if not at least pretentious. Who are we kidding? It says, after receiving degrees from Harvard College and Harvard's Graduate School of Arts and Sciences, he did postgraduate work at the University of Oxford, comma, Princeton, comma, and Columbia. I like the Oxford, comma. Thank you. He has served in the British Merchant Navy, the Israeli Infantry, and the Israeli Air Force. Now, his stories were published in The New Yorker for a long time, almost about 25 years. Years. And as I said earlier, they are widely recognized as some of the best short stories ever written in the English language. Now, I hate to say that with him in the room because it's embarrassing, but I'm just telling you straight up, it's a fact. He's right up there with the best of the best. And if you've ever read, for example, a collection of Faulkner's short stories, he pretty much stinks at writing short stories and novels, if you really want to take the time to talk about it with me. A lot of the people that have been lauded as the greats are not really that great. At least they're not consistently great. Maybe Updike and Cheever leap into my head as people who have written great fiction in our time. And of course, they're both gone. It's just important that I say those things. It wasn't until 1986 that I got to see Mark Helprin in person. I was at Yaddo, which is a writer's colony in Saratoga Springs, and somebody said, oh, Mark Helprin's speaking at Albany someplace. So we went and heard Mark there, and he was like a stand-up comedian. It was sheer lunacy, which is why he's not giving a speech tonight. I'm going to interview him because we need to tamp it down. We need to get somewhere in the conversation. But extremely funny and a joy to listen to. Sometime in the early 90s, I was in Nantucket, and I was bored, and I walked into a bookstore. I picked up the Paris Review, which they've had those interviews stretching back to, you know, Hemingway in the 50s. And it was an interview with Mark Helprin, whose fiction I had loved. And I started reading it, and what struck me about the interview mostly was that I had by that time swung politically conservative, I guess, and had become very serious about my Christian faith. And as I read the interview with Mark Helprin, it stunned me that he seemed to take the concept of God seriously and seemed to be politically conservative. And if you know anything about the world of arts and letters in America at this point, you realize that those two things really never go together, that the world of literature, if you hang out with writers, they tend to be rather monolithically, extremely politically liberal. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're not of that ilk, it becomes uncomfortable. So I was kind of stunned, really, to read this about Mark Helper. And I thought, how has he survived in that world? And the answer is he's a hermit. He never talks to those people. But I was just impressed then. And so it renewed afresh my interest in reading him. And I remember reading Winter's Tale and The Soldier of the Great War around that time. And these are, again, these are works of fiction of the absolute highest order. He has routinely, he's cracked jokes about it, been compared to, you know, Tolstoy. Well, where do you go from there? Socrates in the City, obviously. It really is a very, very great honor for me to have lived long enough to get to a point where I get to talk to Mark, just like he's a regular person. Believe me, he's not, but as you'll soon see. But it really is a great joy, and it's my honor to welcome you, Mark Helper, into Socrates in the City. Please join me on the stage. On a stormy sea of moving emotion, tossed about, I'm like a ship on the ocean. I set a course for winds of fortune, but I hear the voices say, carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Portions of today's program are sponsored by Food for the Poor.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply. Absolutely free. Call 1-800-424-8908. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-424-8908. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free when you text the word GUTS to 60-60-60. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text GUTS to 60-60-60. Text GUTS to 60-60-60.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Hey, folks, it's Eric Metaxas. I got to tell you, MyPillow.com, one of the biggest sponsors we've ever had on this program, probably the biggest, they have a special deal for you if you listen to this program, and you can tell your friends even if they don't listen to this program, if you put in the code Eric or Metaxas right now, this is a limited time offer, as they say, you can get a 2-pack of MyPillow's premium pillows for the lowest price that's ever been offered on radio or TV, okay? This is like breaking news. It ends up being $34.99 per pillow. These are the premium pillows, only available at MyPillow.com, or if you call 800-978-3057, you have to use the promo code Eric or Metaxas. You know these pillows are different than any other pillows. It's why we rave about them. They come with a 10-year warranty. Whoever heard of that? People rave and rave about them, but the 2-pack, lowest price ever, MyPillow.com. Use the code.
Sir.
Yeah, that was absolutely spectacular. Thank you. And I just want to say that how many people come up here and make a joke about Socrates drinking hemlock?
How many crack jokes about how I actually...
I'm not going to do that. But what I'm going to say is that Macaulay, you know who Macaulay was, the 19th century...
The historian.
English historian. He was the Chuck Schumer of his day. Every word that came out of his mouth was a lie, and
including
if
a,
and buh,
and
buh, and buh.
Yeah.
You know what buh means, right? If and buh. But he said, the more I read Socrates, and this is, he didn't say it that way, but I'm sure that this
Nobody living can imitate Macaulay, but
yeah.
Go ahead.
But he said, the more I read Socrates, the more I understand why he was poisoned. And, of course, no one ever read Socrates because we know him only through Plato. So Macaulay was just a terrible fraud.
Right. And by the way, if there are any relatives of Chuck Schumer in the audience,
yeah,
get out. Well, Mark, the point of Socrates in the City is not merely to interview interesting people. It's typically to dig deeper about the big questions. But my first question to you is, what is the meaning of life?
Are you serious?
Fortunately for you, very serious.
You see this tie?
Yes, sir.
See how long it is?
Yeah.
I did an interview in Chicago, and I looked at the television recording of it, and it was even longer. I mean, look how long it is. And I just don't understand that. I'm not that short. But it comes way down. I have to stop buying my ties.
But your height and the length of the tie really aren't necessarily related.
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to stop buying my ties at the giraffe tie shop.
Uh-huh. All right.
But what is the meaning of life? Are you? I don't know.
I know you don't know, but it strikes me that you've thought about it very, very much over the course of your life, and I'm wondering what you think it might be. All because right. Your fiction is not devoid of these kinds of ruminations.
Yeah.
So I don't ask this of most people at Socrates in the City, but you strike me as somebody whom I might ask that question.
Okay.
And,
by the way,
I just did.
It's a very challenging question, obviously.
Sure.
It's the kind that you see in the New Yorker cartoon with the guy and sitting on a mountaintop, and people come with knapsacks and ice axes, and they ask him what the meaning of life is, and he usually cracks a joke.
Right.
And I've never been asked that kind of question.
I'm not surprised.
But let me struggle. Let me start by saying that I knew Ray Carver, otherwise known to people as Raymond Carver, one of the founders of the Minimalists. And I didn't like Ray Carver for various reasons. He's dead now, so I don't like to speak ill of the dead, but I didn't like what he did to his family. I was around when that happened in Iowa.
I just hated his writing.
Yeah, I hated his writing too, except that I chose one of his stories, which was actually a very beautiful story, for the Best American Short Stories of 1988, because I was the first one to ask for them to be submitted to me blind, not even with the typeface of the New Yorker, et cetera, so that there would be no back scratching and no favors. And I just read it. I didn't know who wrote it. It was a beautiful story about Chekhov. And it was written with Ray knowing about his own death. So that was, anyway, one good thing that he wrote.
But he was ill at the time,
you mean? He was ill at the time. He had cancer. But to paraphrase him, he said, I would say, what we talk about when we talk about dying well is living well, because you can't do anything when you're dead. So what you have to do in order to die well is to live well, and one should be able to die well. I've thought about that ever since I was a small child, because it will come faster than you can possibly imagine. When it does happen, you look back and it's as if life passed that fast. So given that there will be eternity on that side, and we have come from eternity on this side, Winston Churchill said, it's like coming up from the ocean onto a raft for a few moments and then going back into the ocean. What you want to do, really, what I would like to do, is to live so that you do justice to the short time you have, and so that you are comfortable returning to that eternity. To do so, in my opinion, you have to have some knowledge of the eternity on either side. When I was an infant, I felt that I did. I felt that I had existed before, not in another life, but in another form somehow, in a bodiless form of, let's say, just an independent soul, the Dantean idea that you are with God somehow.
You had that sense as an infant?
As an infant in the crib. I knew you came from someplace.
You remember that?
Yes, I remember that. And I loved that place. And I felt very comforted by it.
The place from which you'd come, not the crib. The
place from which I had come. Yeah, not the crib. I had a very uncomfortable crib. It had spikes. Yeah. So here, listen to this. When I was born at the beginning of the seventh month in 1947, and not expected to survive. The hospital told my parents, kid's going to die. He's going to die. And my parents were so upset that they left for 2 weeks. I'm not kidding.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, they did.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You were in the hospital.
Yep.
And your parents left for 2 weeks.
Yes. They went to Long Island. They went to East Hampton.
But which hospital?
Doctor's Hospital, which has since been torn down. They found out that I was born there, and they tore it down. It overlooks Gracie.
Is that Manhattan?
It used to overlook Gracie Mansion, yeah.
Okay, so you were there.
Yeah, for 2 weeks.
And your parents left.
And they left because they... Well, I was born by accident, evidently. My godfather was Robert Capa, the photographer. My mother always said that I was his son. But I know that I'm not his son. I'm my father's son because I look like my father, and I have many traits of my father. There's no question that I was my father's son. But she evidently was having an affair with him, and my parents were about to break up. It was a very sad story. And then she was in a taxi accident, which is one reason why I was born so prematurely. But anyway, I was not wanted. And they left. And then when I came home, I was sick for a year, really, really sick. I was born with spina bifida and also with no cilia on my bronchia. So that fans the phlegm up. So in my childhood, I had pneumonia 12 times. And many of the times, I was put in ice baths and everything, and they thought, had I been Catholic, they would have called a priest. They thought I was a goner, and I was very, very close to death. And it never bothered me, because each time each time I felt tremendous comfort, as if an angel had come down and protected me. And I was not disturbed by the idea of dying. And I came very, very close. And once when I was on Mount Rainier, I climbed Mount Rainier, and on the way back, I was running across an ice field. And there was a, it was all kind of flat, and I was jumping over crevasses. And so I jumped over a crevasse onto what was just a piece of white, it looked like solid ground, but it was a crust over a crevasse. And I fell in the crevasse, and I put out my head. I had ski poles at that point. I put out the ski poles, and the snow went up in the air, and I saw it absorbing. It was sparkling in the sunlight, and I felt the greatest kind of joy. So I've never been afraid of dying, and I've always felt that when I do, I will be going back to the place that I feel that I knew when I was an infant. Okay, so what do you do with the time in between when you're conscious and you are active and you can do what you can do? I think the best thing you can do is to embody the virtues, the classical virtues. In other words, if you are honorable, if you have courage, if you love, if you treat people correctly, and you also seek God in whatever way you can.
SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump is voicing optimism that some sort of firearms background check measure can be signed into law. Walmart is taking down all signs and displays from its stores that depict violence following the mass shooting in El Paso, Texas. No videos or video games that depict violence will be removed from shelves, and there is no change in the company's policy regarding gun sales. The Trump administration is moving to enforce its new abortion restrictions. The administration is setting a timetable for federally funded clinics to comply with a new rule that bars them from referring women for abortions. U.S. Border Patrol agents patrolling the Rio Grande have been shot at from the Mexican side. No agents were injured. The region across the Rio Grande River from Texas is dominated by violent gangs. On Wall Street, the Dow down 39 points. This is SRN News.
Following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt for PatriotMobile.com. Mobilizing conservatives across the United States. Come on over is our phrase. Come on over is your passcode. Are you pro-family? Are you pro-border security? Do you believe in the Second Amendment, religious liberty? All those things are supported by Patriot Mobile and veterans, too. Remember that Patriot Mobile is America's only conservative cell phone company, and it is veteran-led. Every bill that you pay, a portion of it goes to protect and promote those causes in which you believe. Join thousands of members like me that switch from Big Mobile when they learn that their cell phone bill was supporting Planned Parenthood and Sanctuary Cities. It's easy to switch to Patriot Mobile. You'll save money and get the same super reliable nationwide service and feel good about supporting the right agenda. With unlimited plans as low as $25 per month, get a free month of service today. Visit PatriotMobile.com and use the promo code COMEONOVER. That's PatriotMobile.com, promo code COMEONOVER, and enjoy a free month of service on all new lines this week only.
if you seek God while you are alive and you become, give thought to what came before and what will come after, and you behave correctly, and you are charitable and brave, et cetera, et cetera, then you are, that's the meaning as far as I can tell. But let me just add something here. I was in Massachusetts doing another event, and as part of it, I was explaining, it was purely literary, it was supposed to be purely literary, and as I don't like this time, as part of it, I was explaining that what I called my conditions precedent for then saying what the book, which is Paris in the Present Tense, was about. And one of them was resurrection of virtue, which is not popular because people mock virtue as if you're, if you talk about virtue, you're just an old-fashioned fuddy-duddy, et cetera, et cetera. But of course, that's absolute garbage, and we need it to survive both as a country and as individuals, et cetera. And I said, well, look, you know, heroism these days has been devalued along with so much else. And courage, you're supposed to be a hero if you bring cupcakes to school. And I gave various levels of what I think heroism is. I said, first, it's doing something that is noble and just. Of course, you have to define noble too, but that as we carry on, that you'll sort of see. The second level in the escalation, on the escalation ladder, is something which is noble and just and contrary to your immediate interests. The third level is doing something noble and just and contrary to your immediate interest, which leads to your death. And you have a real hero. And I would ask the audience, I always do, that's not the top. What's the top? Anyone know? Because that's not the highest level of heroism. The highest level is doing something which is noble and just, contrary to your immediate interests, which leads to your own death, and nobody knows. Which is another interpretation of what you see on the tombs of the unknown soldiers throughout the world, known but to God. That's what real heroism is. Now, I have to tell you that afterwards I was signing books, and a guy came up to me.
This last night,
yeah. And this was Massachusetts. Keep that in mind. He comes up to me and he says, do you think that the people who tried to kill Hitler were heroes? And I said, yes. And he said, would you think I was a hero if I tried to kill our Hitler?
No. What does Angela Merkel have to do with any of this?
It was Massachusetts, so I knew what he meant. And that's something which, if you think about it, we have lost Lincoln, Garfield, McKinley, and Kennedy. And there have been attempts in modern times, just in modern times, on Roosevelt, Truman, Ford, and Reagan. And this is a serious topic. And people who talk about that, I remember when Reagan was elected, I lived in New York at that time, in 1980, and I saw in all these buildings, kill Reagan, there's graffiti all over the place.
It's very tempting to do an impression of William F. Buckley sitting up here, sat like this, you know?
Yes. Well, tell me, Mark.
The question. What I want to ask you is that you're making a number of assumptions. You talk about God. You talk about morality. Mm. Your fiction, and the reason I've asked you this question is because your fiction is filled with muscular virtue, morality. It's all there. Your heroes are real heroes. There's a sense of justice, injustice in most of what you write. It's very strong. So I guess first I really want to ask you, where does that come from? Because it's one thing to say, I believe we should be virtuous. I agree. But how do you come to that? Were you raised in a home where those things were stressed? Were you raised in a home where God was part of your upbringing? How did you come to think that way?
I think two ways. One, my father was the most extraordinary man. He was it's a long story, but I'll try to compress it. He was a student at Columbia, first in his class, and his father had a food processing business. His father had the dairy part, and they combined with a cousin, and they had a meat processing too. So my father was sent to North Africa to buy sheep innards for sausage casings. This was in the 20s, and I have a picture of him in puttees going throughout North Africa. He bargained with the tribes, and he went through North Africa, up through the Levant, Turkey, into Soviet Central Asia, and bargaining with these nomads, and they would send caravans with sheep innards to ports, and then it would be shipped back to the United States. And it took a very long time. And when he got back, he was debriefed by Army intelligence. And that started a relationship with intelligence that he carried on for most of the rest of his life. His lawyer in business was Wild Bill Donovan, who founded the OSS and CIA. So my father went to Camp X during the war and was trained at Camp X in Canada by the SAS. His final exercise was to be dropped blindfolded as a plane took off in an SS uniform, dropped by parachute into the woods of Ontario. And they said, you have to be in New York within 2 weeks, and if you're caught, we don't know you. Sleep, pretty darling, do
not cry. Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. I know full well that if you're in any kind of pain, maybe back or neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, you have some options. For example, you have Relief Factor, a 100% drug-free supplement that helps your body deal with and prevent an even lower inflation. Or I suppose you could rub all kinds of goop all over the parts of your body that hurt and do that a few times a day. And, of course, you can use over-the-counter drugs or even prescriptions. We know about those. So let me ask you, why do you think tens of thousands of people like me are now taking Relief Factor every day? Well, I think it's because they're in less or no pain. In fact, I've gotten to know Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, and that's why they created the 3-week quick start pack to make it as easy and as inexpensive as possible to get you out of pain too. They're on a mission to get you out of pain, and I have joined them. Order the 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95. It can be at your door in just 2 to 3 days. You have to go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. Most people who order the 3-week quick start pack continue to take it because it works. That's why I take it.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free.
Just pay shipping and handling.
No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-424-8908.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
Hi, I'm Milo Ventimiglia.
And I'm Amanda Seyfried.
Now, meet the dog who will show the world how to be human. Set me free. Enzo is more than just a dog. He is an old soul.
He's a spiritual being.
I think audiences are going to pick up the importance of family, focusing on those things that are giving back to you in life.
The most emotional things are the things that stay with you and teach you can get through anything.
Call it fate, call it luck. All I knew was I was meant to be their dog. Set me
free. The Art of Racing in the Rain. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing.
When people talk about being organic or fair trade certified, what does that really mean?
At Boll & Branch, that means not just the highest quality materials, but that you're helping positively impact thousands of farmers and factory workers all around the world. Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. Our signature soft sheets are made exclusively from the finest organic cotton on earth. They start out soft and get softer and softer over time. Boll & Branch cotton is 100% rain-fed and non-toxic, free of pesticides, chemicals, and other artificial substances that you don't want touching your skin. Which means they're not only safer for you and your family, they're also safer for everyone involved in making them. Plus, you get 100 nights to fall in love with your new Boll & Branch sheets, but you'll only need one. Shipping is always free, and right now, get $50 off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with promo code CALM. Spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code CALM for $50 off. BollandBranch.com. Promo code CALM.
50% of the people at Camp X died during the war. They were in cells. They couldn't talk to one another. They were taught all the weapons. My father had a photographic memory, so his job would have been, and he was set to do this, to be parachuted into Germany and be captured near where Heydrich was, deliberately to be imprisoned, and then with his photographic memory to remember count the steps, know where the doors are, to read upside down and backwards the German on people's desks and on bulletin boards, whatever, then to escape, then to recount that to get intelligence about Heydrich. But I think the Czechs beat us to it. But anyway,
in killing Heydrich.
But he 2 weeks later he came with a shave and a haircut and a Savile Row suit. He walked into the place where he was supposed to after having eaten at the Oyster Bar. I don't know how he did it, but he could also smoke even when he was very old. He would be smoking a cigar and stand on the diving board and then jump into the pool, swim underwater the length of the pool, come out, and the cigar would be still lit. Because he could turn it upside down, back, hold it in his mouth and his teeth, and do that. He was quite miraculous. But anyway, when I was little, there were a lot of bullies, of course. Boys are bullied. And now I suppose I would accuse people of bullying me and try to keep them off the Supreme Court. But they did beat the crap out of me. And so my father said, well, I'll teach you how to defend yourself. And I said, but I can't because they're so much bigger. You know, that's what a bully is. They're really much, much bigger. They're three or four grades higher. And he said, no. Let me show you how to do it. And he did. And there were a bunch of bullies who would frequently bully me. And I just practically killed them. And that brought up in me the desire always to be able to fight. And that, in turn, made me not afraid of being bullied. So, for the rest of my life, I figured, why not do what I think is right, no matter what the consequences? And that has led me to all kinds of armed roles in various armies, police forces, intelligence places, etc.
Which, just to be clear, you're packing now. They think I'm joking.
No.
Anybody laughs, he'll take you out.
Yeah,
in a second. No, but you are. You take that seriously. I don't want to go there yet because there's so many rabbit trails with you.
Just to make sure that we're in the Princeton Clause under federal privilege, and
legally,
totally legally.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
I was on Obama's protection detail three times. I had to decide whether I would take a bullet for him. And I decided that I would, which is a lot different from the guy who came up to me last night and was talking about assassinating the president. I did not think, to put it mildly, that Obama was the kind of person that I would want to protect. But he was the president of the United States. It's the office, etc.
And by the way, in Massachusetts, that guy is considered a moderate. Yeah, that's true. That's quite true.
And he's not kidding, really. I lived in Massachusetts for 10 years and almost killed me.
Well, you still haven't really given me an understanding of how you come to the... Or maybe you haven't thought so much about it because you know it's right. But when you talk about I mean, anyone who has read your fiction, and I'm sure most of these people have, it's why they're here, there's a fierce moral quality to it. And I guess, so I want to ask you this kind of silly question. How do you know what's right is right? How do you know what's good is good? You mentioned God in certain ways in your fiction. You have these moments of transcendence. Was there any, I know that you're ethnically Jewish, were you raised with any faith as a kid, or was it mostly
no,
that kind of stuff?
No,
you were not.
No, I was not. I came to it on my own.
When?
I came to a recognition and an experience of the divine presence when I was, from the beginning. So
from when you were an infant?
From when I was an infant. And I don't really practice Judaism. It's not, I don't see it as a something.
Maybe you're
that,
so good you don't need to practice.
Well.
Oh, come on.
Wait a minute. Hold it. In Judaism, there is a, there are many branches, of course. There's the conservative, the reform, who are Democrats, and there are conservatives who are Democrats. And there are the Orthodox, who are Republicans. And among the Orthodox, there are the Hasidim. And you know those guys with the black hats, the diamond merchants, etc.
Their Tea Party,
yeah. They are the spine of Judaism. I protect them in the Chabad houses. I'm a consultant to them, and I have done protection duty for them because of the massacres in India, etc. But I can't practice it. I don't feel comfortable with that. But I come from a Hasidic background. My ancestors were Hasidic rabbis. And the division between Hasidism and the other Jewish denominations, if you call them that, is that in Hasidism, you have a direct connection to God. You have to study, too. You see, that I don't do. I don't know Talmud, Torah, etc. I can read the Bible in Hebrew, but not very well, certainly not fluently, not as I should if I were a real Hasid. But the whole point of Hasidism is that there is a direct connection without the kind of formal remediation intermediation that you get in other forms of Judaism. But they study hard, but you don't need to study hard, actually. You can experience it right at the well. So that's what I followed. What was the question? Yeah. Oh, what's right? Okay.
Meaning of life.
Yeah. What's right? Well, I mean, it's just like religion. You have many ways of approaching it and judging it, and we're all fallible. So you can't be too confident in what is right, because you may be wrong. We've all been wrong, and sometimes seriously. God knows I have. But you make it a combination of the logic and reason and experience and drawing upon others, considering other opinions, and then your gut feeling, finally. And that's, you make a combination of that, and then when you feel that you've arrived at a certain conclusion, you're ready to risk doing what you have to do in order to protect.
A little lamb and wham, you're shorn. I tell you, chum, it's time to...
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-424-8908. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-424-8908. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. One Republican senator is throwing cold water on the idea of so-called red flag laws in the wake of the recent mass shootings.
Red flag legislation is being pushed by some Republicans as a move toward shoring up the background checks needed before somebody can legally purchase a firearm. President Trump seems to support the idea, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's open to debate. Yet Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming says he has concerns that expanded background checks could easily be used to punish law-abiding citizens, infringing on their right to keep and bear arms under the Second Amendment. Bob Agnew reporting.
Twitter has unlocked Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's campaign account. It had been locked after it shared a video in which some protesters spoke of violence outside his Kentucky home. On Wall Street, stocks remain in the red, the Dow off 68 points now, and the NASDAQ down 72. This is SRN News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare contracts, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit, 800-620-8844. That's 800-620-8844. 800-620-8844.
Well, I still think that you know, the reason that it was startling for me to discover that you were rather politically conservative and a fiction writer is because most fiction writers don't have that fierce moral quality in their writing. They're writing typically as, you know, I would say maybe run-of-the-mill utopianists who believe that, in fact, we're not fallen, that we're evolving from something to higher levels, and that we can, I guess it was William F. Buckley who talked about it, but he was quoting someone else, when you talk about immanentizing the eschaton, right, that if we have enough taxes and we have enough government, we can fix everything and we can create utopia, you know, through social engineering or whatever it is. And we know that history, especially recent modern history, is replete with examples of people trying to achieve that. So when you say something like we're fallible or, you know, that morality is a struggle or this or that, you realize that you're parting company with most of the people who create art in our time. So
yeah, well, they are afraid of a number of things. First of all, they're afraid to be ambitious. So they sort of imbibe the academic tendency to particularize. The American Academy is divided between the English approach and the German approach. In the 19th century, we had to choose. Harvard chose to lean toward the English approach, which value good writing, graceful exposition, and generalization. Johns Hopkins was the big leader, and Columbia followed, in valuing the German approach, which was to be very particular, strict, and limited, rigorous. See, it's a question of richness versus rigor. And writers today have inherited the rigorous approach, which means that they limit their ambitions just the way scholars limit their ambitions. You know, the penis denial in Belgian circus stories as a thesis. And that the fiction cousins of that are, you get these novels which are like magazine articles. They deliberately limit them. It's almost like John McPhee, but it's a novel. You know, the novel might be called The Estonian Rug Merchant's Baboon. or the
girl. That's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah. That doesn't really exist?
No.
That sounds like a novel that the New Yorker would just go crazy.
Of course.
Because it's got just enough exoticism. Yeah. Or just enough, but not too much.
And
right?
It's kind of limited, you know? I mean, if you're talking only about a baboon that belonged to an Estonian rug merchant,
right.
You're defining it closely
but
down.
But that's as far into transcendence as like New Yorker type fiction wants to go.
That's exactly
right. Like the rug merchant alone, the idea of a rug merchant, he's sort of, you know, close to the world somehow. He's a rug merchant. But that's as far. Also in the poetry that's published in the New Yorker, it's interesting because it's just part of the zeitgeist. And I mean, you're explicating it. But
they're afraid. They're afraid to take a chance. They're afraid to put a marker down and say, this is what I stand for. This is what I love. This is what I would die for. Some things are good, some things are not. Some things are beautiful, some things are not. They're terribly frightened. They're cowards. I can't generalize and say everyone, but so many. And that is the zeitgeist.
You've been listening to the news, reading the papers. It is no secret there's a food crisis in Central America. It generates headlines every day. I am now partnering on this program with Food for the Poor to help save the lives of displaced children and their families from Venezuela. They need our help. We want to rush life-saving food and emergency relief to these kids. I just want to say go to MetaxasTalk.com. Please do something. Anything you do. We always say this. Just go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner, and give. Here's the phone number. These folks need our help. 844-863-HOPE. 844-863-HOPE.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.